Sunlight crests the Earth's surface. As rays of light shoot up from the continents, the planet spins into view with a word across it. Universal. A web address appears, www.universalstudios.com. The sun creeps out from behind jagged, snow-capped mountain peaks. A tall, ancient building stands in a snowy clearing. A throwing star impales a burly man's forehead, dropping him. In the building, a number of leather-clad barbarian types are having a rowdy celebration. One of their number, with long, unkempt, fair hair and a beard, is drinking out of an upturned human skull. He stands in the middle of the mayhem.
We have killed Babylonians!
He takes a swig from the skull.
We have killed Mesopotamians!
He tosses the skull aside.
We have killed Assyrians! Mycenaeans! Sumerians! But! We have never had the pleasure of killing an Akkadian.
They have one of them tied to a cross. A man climbs up the outside of the building, hauling a huge boulder. Inside...
Which limb do I take first?
The Akkadian looks around.
May the gods have pity on you.
Because my brother will not.
Up on the roof, the man bangs the boulder down hard. Inside, the fire flares up and a huge cloud of smoke billows out. Several arrows hurtle out of the smoke and hit the revelers. The speechmaker, who's holding a red-hot sword, looks on as another enormous man emerges from the cloud of smoke, carrying a bow and arrow. He shoots three more revelers with it. The huge man, another Akkadian, draws his sword and glares. The majority of revelers flee. Matthias, the party crasher, is attacked by several men. He puts his bow over the first attacker's head and twangs it into his face. As he's grabbed from behind by another man, he stamps on a table and it flips up, smacking the speechmaker in the face. Matthias then elbows the man holding him and jumps on the table. It flips over, knocking the other man out. The speechmaker picks himself up and throws an axe on a chain at Matthias, who gets out of its way by cutting and holding a rope attached to a chandelier. As the chandelier falls, he's pulled up into the air. The speechmaker finds himself in the middle of the chandelier as it lands on top of him. Drawing two weapons, he glares at Matthias, who punches an enemy in the face.
You missed.
Matthias wraps the rope around the enemy's neck and jumps down with him from on high, sending the chandelier crashing back up to the ceiling. The Akkadian on the cross shakes his head at Matthias, who lets go of the rope, sending the enemy flying up before facing his comrade.
You're lucky we have the same mother.
The chandelier crashes down into flames and a title appears, the Scorpion King.
Before the time of the pyramids, a fearsome horde came from the east and swept across the barren lands of the ancient world.
An ancient map is overlaid with scenes of horsemen pillaging villages. Dwellings are set on fire.
By the law of the horde, their greatest warrior was proclaimed their king.
A warrior dispatches two men in a battle.
His name was Memnon. He was the greatest swordsman the world had ever seen.
Memnon, a man in his mid-30s, deflects some arrows out of the air with his sword. He leads some of his horsemen away from a burning town, and they rejoin their army, which is waiting for them on a hillside nearby.
With the predictions of a sorcerer who could foretell the outcome of every battle, Memnon slaughtered all who resisted him.
Prisoners are executed by his archers.
Until only a brave few remained.
It's night. Several barbarian and Mongol types are meeting within a standing stone circle. A distinguished gray-bearded man calls out.
Silence!
My father has called for silence! Hold your tongues!
Tukmet, the younger man, walks back to his father, who is seated on a high-backed throne.
We are gathered in this place to put our differences aside. There is still time for us, the last of the free tribes, to stand together against this tyrant.
With his sorcerer at his side, no mortal can defeat Memnon.
And if the sorcerer were to die, what then?
It's too late for your schemes, Pharaoh. I've raided Memnon's caravans, broken the supply lines to his troops, but he still swept across the land like a plague. I will not send my people to their deaths in a battle that can't be won.
And what people would that be, Balthazar?
You are the ruler of nothing but a pile of rocks and sand.
Balthazar crushes Tukmet's hand.
If I'm no king...
Tukmet collapses.
Why are you on your knees before me?
Balthazar! God!
As Balthazar reaches for a weapon, one of three hooded figures throws an axe which sticks into a post beside him. The thrower removes his hood, revealing him to be Matthias.
Cadians. Thought they were wiped out long ago.
They are the last of their kind. By their hand, the sorcerer will die.
You put your faith in a clan of cutthroats who kill for money?
They are more than that. They are skilled assassins, trained for generations in the deadly arts.
And what price do these mercenaries ask from us, Father?
20 blood rubies.
But that's the last of our treasury.
Be quiet! If these men kill the sorcerer, will you fight?
The tribal leaders nod in general agreement. Pharaoh nods and smiles, then tosses the blood rubies to Matthias.
So be it.
Matthias catches them.
As long as one of us still breathes, the sorcerer will die.
As the Acadians go, Balthazar picks up the axe Matthias threw.
Assassin!
He throws it at Matthias, who catches it.
Him? We'll kill for free.
The next morning, Matthias inspects the rubies. Jessup, his brother, turns to him.
We can reach Memnon's encampment by nightfall. When are you gonna get rid of that filthy beast?
He doesn't mean anything by it.
Horses are faster.
But camels are smarter.
Matthias leads the way on his light-colored camel. Jessup and their companion follow on horseback. They ride off across a desert landscape past some ancient ruins. That night, a guard outside a tented encampment is cut down by a bolas. Matthias runs forward to retrieve the weapon. He whistles over to the companion, who throws a bolas, knocking out a second guard. Jessup joins Matthias, and they see another guard on a raised observation platform outside the town.
That one's mine.
Live free.
They shake hands.
Die well.
A man hangs upside down.
Stop! Stop! Listen to me! I am a high priest of Set! Spare me, and I shall bless thee in 5 different languages.
You'll scream in 5 different languages, horse thief.
Wait! Wait!
Matthias whistles to his camel, which trots over to him. He loads an arrow tied to a twine into his bow and shoots it into a wooden post in the camp. He ties the twine off to his camel's saddle. As he does so, the camel nuzzles his face.
Hey, not that heavy.
He throws a chain over the twine and slides down it like a zip line. As he passes the guard on the raised platform, he hacks him with his sword. The camel gets on its knees and Matthias dips down lower. He jumps from the zip line and gets to his feet as one of the torturers runs over, brandishing a red-hot poker. He throws him over his shoulder and kicks the second torturer back.
Look out for the fat one! He's behind you!
Matthias turns around and hacks the torturer down with his sword.
Help me! Help me! Whoever you are, help me! Oh, thank you. Thank you, good sir.
Quiet.
Surely you've heard of the enormous reward for my safe return.
Matthias knocks the man out with a punch in the face, then runs off amongst the tents. He creeps between two tents and sees another large tent a little way off. He whistles and Jessup and the companion appear out of the darkness and look over at him. He nods at the big tent.
The sorcerer's tent.
Matthias draws a hatchet with a curved blade, then he leads the others towards the tent. As they approach, he sees shadows moving within the tent.
Back!
A flap is pulled back and a large number of archers let fly a flight of arrows. Matthias vaults over a tent to safety, but both the companion and Jessup are hit. Matthias watches as the archers run forward to take the fallen men. As the soldiers search amongst the tents, Matthias uses his hatchet to cut a hole in the roof of the sorcerer's tent, which he's on top of. He drops down through the hole, looks around the tent, and takes his bow from his shoulder. He spots the sorcerer's back towards him, wearing a high-collared cloak and standing in front of some sort of altar. Bow in hand, Matthias steps out from behind a curtain and approaches the sorcerer. A low mist hangs over the floor of the tent. Matthias draws back his bow, and the sorcerer turns around. The sorcerer is a glamorous woman wearing a silver belly dancer-style outfit under her cloak and a gold headband with a jeweled pendant resting on her forehead.
You've been betrayed, Matthias.
You know my name?
And why you're here.
They stare into each other's eyes for a moment, then Matthias lets his arrow fly straight into a guard who has appeared behind the sorceress. Matthias drops the bow and draws his sword and his hatchet, then lays into another guard who comes running at him. Having dispatched him, he deftly slices his way through two more hapless guards. Another of the guards inadvertently runs a colleague through. Matthias then kills the bungler. Two more guards are dispatched, then another has a go at kicking Matthias, who grabs his foot, flips him over, then runs him through. He glances around at the sorceress, who watches the action. Suddenly, a man wearing a turban uses a pitchfork to pin Matthias by the neck to a wooden board. Memnon and some guards wearing red headdresses come in as Matthias is restrained. Memnon draws close to Matthias.
A living, breathing Acadian. This is a rare pleasure.
I hear you train yourselves to bear great pain. You must teach me this, if you live long enough.
Matthias spits in Memnon's face. Memnon returns the compliment with a punch in the face. As Memnon steps back, Tuckmet comes into the tent.
Not looking so full of yourself, are you now? Assassin.
You betrayed your own father?
Yes. He was very shocked. You could tell by the look on his face.
Tuckmet tosses a severed head.
By my father's head, I pledge my allegiance.
You have proven your loyalty, Tuckmet.
This one still lives.
Beaten and battered, Jessup is carried in by his arms. Matthias stares at him with wide eyes. Memnon approaches Matthias and takes a small dagger from his sheath, examining the blade.
Beautiful.
Memnon and Matthias are face to face.
Bring him to me.
Restrained, Matthias tries to free himself as Memnon steps toward Jessup with the blade.
Matthias! Matthias! Free.
Die well, my brother.
Matthias looks on with tears welling in his eyes as Memnon slits Jessup's throat. The sorceress frowns.
So, how shall this one die?
He shall not die tonight.
Really? We shall see.
Nor shall he die by your hand, or any hand you command.
Memnon walks over to the sorceress and looks at her.
You have seen this in a vision?
To ignore this would bring great misfortune. The gods show him favor on this night.
Just the gods.
Memnon bows to the sorceress, then, smiling, turns to Matthias.
A puzzle, then. How to kill you without using my hand or any hand I command.
Thorak, Memnon's general, knocks Matthias out. When he regains consciousness, he finds himself buried up to the neck in sand beside Arpid, the man who was being tortured at the camp the night before. A human skull lies on the sand nearby, and one of Memnon's guards throws a burning rag down an anthill.
Fascinating, isn't it? The smoke, it causes the fire ants to abandon their homes, you see?
An army of ants pour out of the smoking anthill nearby and begin to scuttle towards them.
All this sooner to feast on our naked heads.
You think it's funny?
It's a little bit funny, yes. You see, I am about to escape while you, on the other hand, are about to die a horrible death for leaving me to die last night.
So what are you waiting for?
You see that one up there? He's been drinking that yak piss for about an hour now, and sometime very soon... Ah, you see?
Matthias watches as the guard in question staggers behind a rock. When the guard returns, Matthias turns his head to see the other prisoner has gone.
Hey! Where's the horse thief?
Arpid pops up behind the guard and knocks him out with a club. The second guard also gets clobbered by Arpid and falls onto one of the anthills. He writhes about as the ants eat him alive. Matthias watches as the ants from another mound get ever closer to him. Arpid picks up the guard's bottle of grog and waves to Matthias. The ants get closer.
All right, come on. Get me out of here.
Do you, promise not to kill me?
Yes, I promise.
Remember, you are an Acadian. You make an oath, you always have to keep it, right?
That's right.
Promise to take me with you and share in the spoils of your adventures.
All right, fine. Yes, I promise.
The ants draw ever closer. Arpid takes a swig from the bottle of grog and blows it over the guard's flaming brand like a fire eater. The resultant spray of flames drives the ants back. Some, however, get through. Matthias crushes a couple with his chin. As an ant climbs up his face, he grabs it in his teeth and spits it out.
All right, now hold still. Oh, here's one. Oh, that's a big one.
My, here comes the mother!
So, where are we going?
To Memnon's kingdom, to avenge my brother's death.
They're now free and walking through the desert.
Never touch the bow.
Not a problem. Who are you calling?
My ride.
Matthias's camel appears over the ridge. He walks over to it and saddles up.
It's a nice camel.
Arpid struggles to get on behind Matthias.
Not much room back here. Scoot up, please.
He falls off.
Hey, we had a deal.
That's right, and I haven't killed you. Yet.
In a palace, Memnon, Thorak, and Takhmet march into a chamber where the sorceress and several other scantily clad women are seated.
What news from my sorceress today?
She regards Memnon as he sits on a throne, then places a hand on a map covered with polished stones. She raises her head and the sun catches her jeweled headdress. She has a vision. In it, she sees a town in a valley in flames. A band of horsemen are riding away from it. On closer inspection, the leader of the horsemen turns out to be a wild-looking Amazon-type woman.
What news?
Your armies will conquer in the west. Queen Isis's forces will scatter to the four winds.
Memnon gets up and turns to Thorak and Takhmet.
Give the generals the news. Have them make their armies ready for the final campaign.
Yes, my lord.
Thorak and Takhmet leave the chamber. The sorceress looks down. Memnon picks up a hunk of meat from a platter on a nearby table and tosses it to a lion cub and a tiger cub, which are chained up nearby.
You think I'm cruel, don't you?
Perhaps you've forgotten what it's like outside these walls. Heartless, ignorant, and savage.
The sorceress turns her head away.
But I can change that.
I will bring order after centuries of chaos. An order which will last for 1,000 years.
She steps away from him, then turns back to face him.
Rivers of blood can never bring peace.
But they can bring obedience. That will suffice for now.
He draws close.
And when I have become the King of Legend, then you shall take your place beside me, on a throne and in my bed.
But my lord, in your bed, I would lose my gift of sight. And you would lose your advantage in battle.
The day I speak of is the day I no longer need your vision.
He strokes her hair. Out in the desert, Matthias and Arpid see the city in the distance.
Come on.
Let me tell you, after a hard day of looting and pillaging, there is no greater city than Gamora. Except maybe Sodom.
Arpid sees Matthias's selection of weapons.
I wish I could join you.
You're not going?
No. Believe me, I'd like to even the score with a few of those Red Guards myself. But with the price they've got in my head, I'd never make it through those gates.
I have faith in you, my friend. You'll get us in.
He pats Arpid's shoulder. A well-to-do couple ride up to the city of Gamora on an elephant. The city itself is built of white stone on a hillside. Outside the gates, vendors in stalls ply their wares. Matthias and Arpid look on.
You see? They've got the city sealed up tighter than a crab's buttocks. I wish there was something I could do to help, but I...
Oh, but there is.
Matthias knocks Arpid out, then takes him up to the city guards.
What business do you have here?
I've come to collect a bounty.
He shows off Arpid.
Horse thief.
Ah, I know this dog. They'll behead him for sure this time.
He'll be all the prettier without it.
Inside the city, Matthias dunks Arpid's head in a fountain to wake him.
What happened?
You got us in. I know you can do it. A jug of your finest wine for my road-weary friend here.
Wait a minute. The last thing that I remember was this huge Acadian fish coming straight into my...
Please, let me know if there's anything else you'd like.
It's good to be back in the big city.
Watch my camel for me.
Gladly. Been working here a long time? How's the kebab?
Matthias wanders back to his camel and takes a cloth purse from the side saddle, then ties it on his belt. He wanders off down the street.
Merchandise of the highest quality. Virgin steel forged by the monks of Pompeii. Here they are, the world's finest swords. Huh? You can't get respect in Gamora without a quality blade.
Birds of paradise, birds of prey, the most beautiful birds in the world. Hey, soldier, those big muscles look grand.
Perhaps one of us can help you relax.
Maybe all of us.
Matthias smiles to himself and tootles on down the street, leaving the ladies to tout for other business. He makes his way between yet more stalls, which are arranged in a large square in front of an enormous palace. He looks up at the edifice, which is made from bands of red and white stone. His eyes scan some stone masons carving a huge statue of Memnon at the entrance to the palace. As he steps forward, several urchins approach him.
Mister! Guide, mister! You need a guide to find your way in Gamora.
A good guide might be able to show me a way into Memnon's palace.
But a smart guide wouldn't, or he'd be shown into Memnon's dungeon.
One of the boys cuts the purse from Matthias's belt, and the urchins run off through the market, passing the purse between them. Matthias doesn't know which one to chase and ends up stopping the wrong one. He lets the boy go as he sees the boy who originally spoke to him running off down the street. He gives chase and follows the boy down a narrow street. The boy ducks into a hole in a wall and scuttles through it. Matthias crawls on all fours after him. He emerges into a quiet courtyard and sees some large storage jars over by the far wall. He draws his sword, steps over to the jars, and taps each one with his blade. He sheathes his sword and takes the lid off the third jar. The boy grins up at him. He lifts the boy out of the jar, and the boy hands him the purse back. Matthias takes it and weighs it in his hand. After considering for a moment, he indicates the boy should open his mouth. He does so and spits out one of the blood rubies. Matthias looks at the boy.
Do you want to earn this one?
The boy pokes his head around a corner inside the palace, followed by Matthias. They proceed down the corridor, then hear people up ahead.
Shh!
Matthias draws his sword.
Get ready. I'll kill half, you kill half.
The boy is wide-eyed.
All right. I'll kill them all.
How about we go around them and not kill anybody?
They run into another room where Phylos, an alchemist, is hard at work. He looks up.
Good lord. Are you going to kill me?
Maybe later.
Memnon's always threatening to have my head. Don't touch that.
What is it?
That's my special magic powder.
Magic powder?
Yeah, magic powder. It's from a Chinese formula that I procured at great expense. If I get the recipe right, it'll move mountains, clear roadways in an instant, do great things. Wonderful things.
Matthias listens at the door.
Or terrible things. Like all my inventions, Memnon will try to use it for war.
Where is Memnon?
Oh, you mean to kill him, do you?
Matthias holds his sword to Phylos's neck.
Yes.
Well, in that case, I'd say he was in the training courtyard.
In the training courtyard, Memnon is facing two men brandishing wooden staffs. He is armed with two shorter sticks. The first man attacks. Memnon kicks him away, then knocks the second down. The first man gets up and has another go, but gets a smack in the face. The second man tries again, and Memnon hits him several times, the last blow literally knocking the man off his feet. Memnon throws down his two shotos and walks off. Matthias climbs a ladder leaning up against the outside wall of the training courtyard. He has a quick look into the courtyard, then lobs the boy one of the blood rubies.
Shukru!
Matthias smiles and the boy runs off with the ruby. In the courtyard, Memnon stands facing a Japanese Kyudo archer. On the wall overlooking the courtyard, Matthias draws back his bow. In the courtyard, so too does the archer. Something distracts Matthias as the archer lets his arrow fly. Memnon catches the arrow in his bare hands. A second later, two beturbaned guards bring the boy into the courtyard.
No! Let me go! I didn't do anything!
Matthias lowers his bow. Memnon takes the ruby from the boy's hand.
You know the penalty for thievery.
The guard takes the boy over to a nearby table. Matthias aims his bow at Memnon, who's being waited on by two girls, then notices Takhmet select a large axe from a selection of weapons on a table.
Oh, no.
Matthias aims at Memnon again. Takhmet readies the axe to chop off the boy's hand. Matthias changes his mind at the last moment and shoots at Takhmet. The arrow pins the axe to the side of a wooden practice horse.
Intruder!
Memnon springs to his feet, and Matthias readies a second arrow. As he shoots, Memnon draws his sword and blocks the arrow with its blade. Thorak and his archers then surround the king and fire volley after volley of arrows at Matthias, who's forced to flee. He jumps down onto a rampart and runs back to Phylos' laboratory.
Phylos!
Phylos looks up.
You again?
How do I get out of here?
Where he came in.
Through that door.
Matthias looks at a catapult.
What's that?
That's one of my latest inventions. It was meant to be a quick means of transportation, but there was a little problem with the landings.
Open! Open!
Don't touch that, you'll set it off.
Right.
Matthias jumps in the basket of the catapult and throws a knife at the trigger, setting the catapult off. He's hurtled out of a window and flies through the air above the palace. He hurtles through some latticework shutters and lands on a bed. He finds himself surrounded by glamorous women.
A man?
What is this place?
The Memnon's harem, but he visits so rarely, and it gets so lonely.
Matthias raises an eyebrow. Thorak visits Phylos.
Can't you leave me alone, Thorak?
Watch your tongue, Phylos.
Careful with those. They're delicate instruments.
You're lucky Lord Menman has a taste for your science, you old fool.
Thorak heads back towards the door.
If I find out you had anything to do with this intruder, I will send the executioner.
We know how to please.
Oh, I'm sure you do, ladies.
Stay with us.
That's nice, but now's not a good time.
We will make your every fantasy come true.
In the harem, the women have subtly taken Matthias's weapons. One of them strikes a large gong. Matthias shrugs off the admirers as two guards run in with swords. Weaponless, Matthias squares up to the men. He ducks a sword swipe, then punches one of the men and tosses him to the floor. He throws the second man into a fountain. The first man grabs him, then Thorak enters. Thorak's archers fire at Matthias, but hit the guard in the back. Wielding one of the guard's swords, Matthias runs behind the gong, cuts it loose, then rolls it along the floor, thereby shielding himself from the incoming arrows. Matthias uses the gong to break through the double doors. The archers chase Matthias, who rolls the gong down a corridor, then through doors onto a balcony. The gong smashes through the parapet and falls to the ground far below. Matthias dangles over the edge of the balcony, then drops. Thorak arrives.
Go get him!
Thorak pushes two of his guards off the balcony. Matthias falls through a skylight, but the two guards land hard on a roof. Matthias lands in a bathing room. Two women who were sprinkling petals over a bathing pool scamper away. Matthias struggles to his feet and draws his sword. The sorceress rises from the pool unclothed, her long hair covering her chest. Seeing Matthias, she grabs a dagger.
Well, are you going to try to kill me or just stare at me?
The door is broken open. Matthias leaps into the pool. The sorceress has nicked his arm.
Ow! Take a breath.
He ducks himself and the sorceress under the water as the guards enter. The pool drains away. Matthias and the sorceress slide down a channel, then drop into deep water. Outside, a few people are gathered at a well. Making a wish, a boy flips a coin into the water. The naked sorceress emerges.
Gods be praised!
She grabs some cloth and covers herself. Matthias seizes her.
How dare you touch me!
He lifts her out of the well.
Sorceress, I'm an Acadian, hired to kill you. I find myself in a position where you're more used to me alive. Don't make me change my mind.
Arpid sits at a table with friends.
And he said it's not the size of the hump. It is the motion of the camel.
They all look around as Thorak's men run down the street.
Alas, I must leave you now.
Phylos runs to his window and looks out. Thorak points up at him.
There's the traitor!
Oh, great gods.
He hurries off. Matthias walks the sorceress out of the city at knife point, both of them in disguise. The gates close behind them. Arpid walks through the desert with Matthias's camel.
He's dead! instant minute you smell it, camel. I am your master now. You belong to me. He is dead. 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 You are alive. I knew it.
Right.
I was just saying to the camel, camel, no one could kill our good friend Matthias.
Get on.
Why should I make it easy for you? You're sworn to kill me.
Others will die first.
She looks at Arpid, who grins.
That's comforting.
She mounts the camel.
So who is your friend?
Memnon Sorcerer.
Memnon Sorcerer? Right. Are you insane? She's going to get us all killed!
Memnon will have to leave the safety of his palace to get her.
So you're going to use me first and then kill me? I feel so much better.
I could always do it the other way around and kill you first.
So where are we going?
The Valley of the Dead.
The Valley of the Dead? Nobody goes to the Valley of the Dead. That's why they call it the Valley of the Dead! Wait for me, please!
In his palace, Memnon takes a scorpion from a bowl of the wriggling creatures and places it on a stone slab.
Take a dozen of your best men, track him down, kill him.
To Thorak.
And bring her back to me.
A falcon.
Send me news when he's dead.
Yes, my lord.
My lord. There are rumors spreading to the armies that she is gone.
Tachmet. Memnon turns to Thorak.
Is this true?
It is, my lord.
Then silence them!
They must believe she is here, if only for a short time.
Memnon dips an arrowhead in the venom from crushed scorpion tails.
And when you find the Acadian?
He puts a triangular cover over the poison arrowhead and takes the arrow to Thorak.
Give him this from me.
Matthias's camel reaches the edge of a cliff.
Are we where I think we are?
Yes. Home.
They continue. On three flimsy wooden crosses at the cliff's edge hang skulls and other human bones. Below, a hummocky desert landscape stretches to the horizon. A pale night. Matthias, Arpid, and the sorceress are sleeping on blankets in the open air. The sorceress's eyes suddenly open. She gets up and makes a run for it, then tumbles to the sandy ground. She finds a string tied to her ankle, which is connected to Matthias's ankle. He's on his feet looking down at her.
Where are you going, sorceress?
The sorceress leaps up and attacks Matthias with her fists. Sitting up, Arpid watches Matthias bring her to the ground, then covers his face.
In a hurry to get back to Memnon?
No, I'm in a hurry to get away from you. I'll never go back to Memnon. He's kept me prisoner since I was a child.
Matthias frowns at the sorceress, then releases her.
Why did you help me that night in the tent?
She sits up.
I knew you were the one man who could help me escape.
Matthias stares at the sorceress, who meets his gaze unflinching. He backs away, then cuts the cord around her ankle.
Run if you like, but there are worse dangers out there than me.
The sorceress looks one way, then the other. She sighs, then peers up at Matthias, who walks back to his bed. A bright, sunny day. The camel, with Arpid in tow, halts on the crest of a vast sand dune.
What do you mean you can't find it? I know it's around here somewhere.
What are you looking for?
Just a little place to get out of the storm.
What storm?
You'll see.
Matthias raises a bamboo tube to his eye, then slots a pointed crystal into the other end and twists it. He sees guards on horseback.
Thorak.
Memnon didn't come, did he?
He sent his maggots to do his work.
He's smarter than you think.
Or more cowardly.
Can I go home now?
Matthias and the sorceress dismount.
Stay here. Cover up. You'll be safe.
Matthias leaps onto the camel, then dons a leather mask with a narrow slit for his eyes. He turns the camel around and gallops away across the rippled sand. Thorak and his men, all on horseback, come to a stop on a vast, flat expanse of sand. Matthias is riding toward them.
He's attacking! Alone?
The sun has fried his brain. A thousand Thoranas for the one who brings me his hand!
They charge towards Matthias, trailing a cloud of dust. Matthias whips his camel, which gallops on, its long neck wobbling as it goes. Thorak and his band of soldiers continue their charge, as does Matthias, who whips the camel's flank. Thorak holds aloft a large axe. A great billowing sandstorm sweeps over a hill in the distance behind Matthias and tears across the plain. It engulfs Matthias as well as Thorak and his men. The horses turn in all directions. A man loses his head.
The cave is bastard!
Thorax on his feet.
Why is it?
Squinting through the clouds of sand, Thorak makes out a dead man, then the camel standing by the opening to a cave. He approaches the cave with his soldiers.
You two first!
The first two scamper into the cave, followed by Thorak and the others. Later, they creep across the sandy cave floor. Sunlight filters in and grains of sand fall in a gentle flow from above. The first man spots a moving shadow and runs forward. He sinks into the sand and is swallowed up. Thorak flicks his head at another guard who ventures forward, his sword at the ready. He too is eaten up by the quicksand. Thorak puts his foot on a stone, which doesn't sink.
Stay on the stones!
Walking only on the stones which litter the cave floor, Thorak and his men advance safely. They pass a wide blanket of sand cascading from a narrow opening in the cave wall. Hearing a noise behind them, some of the guards spin around and point their swords into the air. There's nothing there. A hand reaches through the wall of cascading sand and pulls a guard through. Another guard swipes at the falling sand. The guard is dragged through the cascade by his feet. In a passage ahead, Thorak stops and listens. Later, he leads his men to the end of a passage which opens out into a cavern. They halt and look around. Thorak prevents one man from going further.
Come with me.
Thorak leads them on. Thorak and the others hold their weapons at the ready as they creep forward. One man sees a shadow attack with a sword. Thorak grips his axe more tightly. They enter another cavern where sunlight dapples the ground and sand falls in slender waves from above. A guard approaches a sword sticking into the ground. The man is upturned, then hauled up through a hole in the roof. Thorak sees a fleeting figure and tries to track it. The figure grabs the sword sticking into the ground.
Don't touch that!
The shadowy figure, Matthias, dispatches some of Thorak's men. Seeing a man impaled on a stalagmite, Thorak runs back out into the raging sandstorm.
Coward! Show your face!
Matthias appears behind him. Thorak turns and fights. He briefly gets the better of his opponent before Matthias runs him through with his sword. Thorak shudders, then topples to the ground as Matthias rips his sword out. A guard attacks Matthias, who slices his throat. Thorax sticks the poison arrowhead into Matthias's leg. Matthias opens his jaws wide, then doubles up. As the storm finally lifts, Arpid emerges from under a sand-covered blanket. He gets up, helping the sorceress to her feet.
The Acadian!
She runs off. Arpid follows. A fallen horse rights itself. Nearby...
Matthias!
They spot the camel, unhurt and lying on a ridge of sand. On a slope behind the ridge, Matthias's hulking form rises majestically from the desert, sand tumbling from his thick armor. He stretches to his full height and removes the mask from his sand-covered face. Sighing, he reaches down and pulls the arrow from his lower thigh. He grimaces.
You're alive! You swatted them like flies! You are invincible!
As Arpid and the sorceress arrive, running, Matthias drops to his knees, then onto all fours, and finally collapses onto his front. Night, Arpid tosses twigs onto a small campfire. Matthias lies on his back, eyes closed, jaw quivering. Kneeling beside him, the sorceress bandages his wound, then mops his brow with a cloth.
Tell me, do you think you can save him?
His fever's high. The poison was made with scorpion venom. If he does live, the blood of the scorpion will always flow through his veins.
The scantily clad sorceress sits astride Matthias's belly and sheds a slender brown shawl that's covering her head and shoulders. She puts her arms diagonally across her chest, closes her eyes, and takes a deep breath. Bending down, she puts her face close to Matthias's and opens her mouth. Bright yellow light illuminates their faces, then a wisp of dust corkscrews out of Matthias's open mouth and into hers. The light goes out and she collapses to one side. Arpid scampers over.
Sorceress.
Daytime. Arpid sits staring curiously into Matthias's face. Matthias wakes up and jumps, seeing Arpid so close.
It's a miracle! She cured you! I knew it! I felt her magic! It almost killed her, but the gods, they were on our side!
Matthias removes his bandage. The wound is gone. The sorceress stirs.
Why? Why would you risk your life to save mine?
Because I believe you can save the people.
The people are not my problem. Memnon is.
You and the people have the same problem.
Matthias frowns at her, then looks to one side. A little way off, Thorax's falcon perches on its master's dead body, half buried in the sand. Matthias strides over and collects the bird. He rips an intricate medallion from around Thorax's neck. The sun sinks low in a hazy pink sky as the falcon flaps back to the city, carrying something in its talons. A guard enters Memnon's palace, holding the bird.
Pardon my lord. A message from Thorax.
Memnon addresses his cohorts.
Finally, the Acadian is dead.
He opens a leather pouch to find Thorax's medallion. He slowly lifts his head. Takhmet.
Is there something wrong, my lord?
Not at all. Everything is in order.
In fact, things are going so well that I'm moving up our plans. Tomorrow night, we feast to celebrate our impending victory. And then we'll drive the last of the rebels into the sea. Now go.
The men are about to go.
My lord, it is customary for the sorceress to be present at these meetings. Why is she not here today?
She is indisposed.
It is nothing serious, I hope.
If it were serious, then you would know about it. Now go!
His cohorts leave. Takhmet approaches Memnon's throne.
She is alive. She is with him, and he's coming here. Get ready.
Day. Matthias Arpit and the sorceress walk alongside the camel through the desert. Smoke pours out from behind a mound. Phylos.
It works! My lady, how lovely to see you out here in this desolate place. Let me show you. It works! Come. My lady sorceress.
He kisses her hands.
You see, I worked it out. My Chinese formula. My magic powder works. All I needed was salt. Peter's salt. It was here all the time. And this place is just full of it. By the way, do any of you happen to have any water?
They come to an oasis. Matthias and the sorceress kneel at the edge of a pool.
What do you think? Is it safe to drink?
Not anymore.
Delicious. You see, the sandstone must act as a natural filter.
Quiet.
Men in reedy camouflage surround them, aiming crossbows. Arpit comes to the surface of the pool.
I'm alive!
He looks around and stops smiling.
For the moment.
The camouflaged men lead their four hand-tied captives through an encampment, past tents and smoking fires. A herd of goats is shepherded along. The inhabitants stare. A man runs across a swinging rope bridge. The young urchin boy, sitting on a rug, looks up.
Matthias!
Matthias nods.
Move!
The boy's smile slowly fades away. Matthias and his two companions are dragged up onto a wooden cart. Curtains are drawn back, and Balthazar emerges from a tent.
Assassin! The gods are good to me. When we last met, you offered to kill me. Now I have a chance to return the favor. Your trespass is here. Our survival depends on this place being kept a secret. So we have a problem. As long as you're alive.
No problem. I can keep a secret like no other. In fact, I cannot remember how we got here. We took a left turn.
It's too late for that.
Balthazar! This place is sanctuary for all of Memnon's enemies. You know that.
This man is dangerous.
Your judgment is clouded.
My judgment keeps all of you alive. This man cannot be trusted, and I'll prove it. Bring the woman to me!
A guard swipes at Matthias, cutting his ropes. Matthias takes his sword.
The first man to touch her will have to come through me.
The sorceress gazes at Matthias, who stares ahead at Balthazar.
I had hoped for nothing less.
Matthias jumps down from the cart. He and Balthazar clash swords. Both their blades shatter on impact. They drop what's left of the weapons and continue with their fists. Matthias punches Balthazar, who then bangs Matthias's head repeatedly against a post. Balthazar shoves Matthias through a tent. Arpit buries his face. Balthazar punches Matthias to the ground, then turns to his people and throws his arms into the air. Matthias lifts himself up a little, but Balthazar kicks him back down. Arpit looks the other way. Again, Balthazar celebrates. Matthias gets to his feet, then leaps onto his opponent's back. Balthazar reverses into the post. Balthazar dumps Matthias, who kicks him. Matthias is up again and knocks his foe to the ground. Balthazar grabs a bucket and swings it at Matthias, who falls backwards onto a tent. Balthazar is thrown a spear. The young boy.
That's not fair!
Balthazar jumps down to where Matthias lies. Matthias rolls away as he jabs with the spear. Stuck behind a table, Matthias launches various objects, but not a chicken. Matthias shields himself with a stool, then grabs a pole and spars with Balthazar. Arpit yells, hands clenched. People gather around the fighters. Matthias and Balthazar both hold the spear, pushing against each other. Matthias lands a few punches. The young boy. Matthias wrestles the spear from Balthazar and aims the blade at his throat.
Do you yield?
Never.
Then you're a fool. We're brothers in the same cause.
Brothers? You brought death to my people. Memnon will follow you. He will come for his sorceress. Yes, I know who she is. And Memnon will stop at nothing till she's returned.
He'll come swifter and deadlier once he has her. Memnon will stop at nothing. Hide here as long as you can, but believe me when I say he'll find you. And if he isn't stopped, he'll sweep across this land and kill all of you.
And who's gonna stop him, Acadian? You? Will you stand alone before the fury of his armies?
Matthias looks away, then back at Balthazar.
Yes.
The sorceress smiles. Balthazar stares at Matthias, whose brow is pinched. Evening. Flaming torches and fires light the encampment. Two animals are cooking on a spit. A woman with a bulging cleavage arm wrestles with Arpid, beating him easily. Phylos watches.
Gentlemen always lets a lady win. Best 2 out of 3?
A young boy.
Dates? Oh, thank you.
The sorceress strokes his hair. Her eyes widen, flames dance across her face. Now she perceives the boy lying prostrate, an arrow in his belly. People run this way and that, and homes burn. Flaming arrows are fired by Memnon's guards from a hillside above. The sorceress spots Phylos lying dead on the ground. Next to him lies Arpid. The sorceress looks around at the destruction unfolding before her. Waves of flaming arrows rain down. She stares open-mouthed, her eyes still wide. A man is hit by an arrow and falls down dead.
Cassandra!
Memnon rides toward the sorceress, Cassandra. Suddenly, she's back with the young boy, who moves away. Arpid has won at arm wrestling. Wearing a frown, Cassandra makes her way to a ladder, which she climbs. In a tent at the top, Matthias sits on a pile of rugs, sharpening the curved blade of his sword. Cassandra comes in.
I've had a vision. Memnon will follow me here and destroy these people.
You know this?
Wearing only slender brown cloth over her undergarments, Cassandra crosses to bare-chested, muscle-bound Matthias and sits down close to him.
The things I see are like shimmers in a pond. Some are certain, and some remain shadows. But I do know this. Memnon will release his armies and ride straight through this place.
Memnon will die by my hand.
Cassandra reaches out and touches his limp hand. She emits a bright light.
Seems the gods favor me tonight, Acadian.
Matthias is kicked from a palace wall and lands heavily. An archer shoots him in the back. Matthias drops to the ground. Cassandra opens her eyes and looks away from Matthias.
If you face Memnon, that is your destiny.
Matthias gently turns her face towards his.
I make my own destiny.
He strokes her face with his hand and then leans in towards her. They kiss tenderly on the lips, Cassandra putting her hand on his long dark hair. They lean back together onto the rugs. Later, Cassandra wakes, lying naked next to Matthias. She gazes at his sleeping face for a short while, then lifts herself onto her elbows before moving carefully away. Outside, it's still dark. Wearing her wraparound cloth garments, Cassandra crosses the dusty ground to where the camel stands. She stops a few meters in front of the beast and stares at it.
I need your help.
The camel drops to its knees, then lower still. Cassandra smiles, then moves towards it. In the gray light of the tent, Matthias wakes up. He's lying on his back with his arms at his sides. He looks around, then sits up with a frown and sighs. Early morning, Balthazar wakes up with two women in his bed. He gets up, leaving them to snooze. Later, he stands in the path of Matthias, who arrives on horseback. Arpid and Phylos wander up.
Where do you think you're going with my horse?
To Gamora. Nothing we can say will stop him.
Without your sorceress?
She returned to save the lives of your people. I won't let her face Memnon's wrath alone. Step aside.
Acadian, you're riding to your death. If I let you ride alone...
A smile breaks across his face.
What glory will there be left for me?
He beams toothily. Night. On a large terrace on the roof of Memnon's palace, a group of men and women beat drums. People sit around eating and drinking. Two female dancers enter wearing revealing gold tops and swirling delicate cloths. One of them joins another group of dancers. The dancers perform a routine. Memnon himself appears at the top of a flight of steps.
So tonight we celebrate. Eat and drink your fill, for tomorrow we ride into battle.
He smiles. Takhmet is talking to some long-haired beauties.
I would have captured him myself, but he ran like a coward. He left his bow behind.
He struggles to pull the string.
My lord.
A general.
There is something that is troubling our soldiers. How distressing. Pray tell. It's been said, the sorceress is no longer by your side.
Soldiers will fall prey to idle palace gossip. You have my word, she is perfectly safe.
If the men are to fight, to die, they may need more than that.
Memnon moves closer.
You doubt my word?
It is not that, sire. It's just she is a symbol from which the men derive courage. Symbols are most effective when seen.
My lord!
Cassandra, in her sorceress attire, strides outside. All heads turn. Memnon paces forward.
I am here at your request. Pardon my absence. I was not well. But our impending victory has lifted my spirit.
Memnon grasps her arm.
Is this sufficient to placate your men? Tell them what you see, sorceress.
I see a great victory. Your enemies will reveal themselves to you.
A covered cart pulled by two mules draws up at the gates of Gamora. Arpid is at the reins. A sentry steps forward.
Halt!
What is in the cart?
What is in the cart?
He jumps down.
Actually, it is a bit of a surprise.
It's full of women.
A gift for tonight's festivities. Prince Takhmet's request.
Very nice.
A grappling hook is thrown over the ramparts. A guard knocks an arrow. Below.
Well now, let's see that pretty little face.
The woman tugs off her veil. It's Balthazar. He punches the sentry. Others take out the rest. The rampart guard steps too close to the edge. Matthias hauls him over. On the ramparts, he attacks another guard and heaves him to the ground. Two archers hurry over. Matthias uses a jar lid as a shield, then hurls two blades, piercing the archers. He signals Balthazar below. Arpid whips up the mules and the cart heads towards the gates, on the ramparts. camel responds to the whistle and breaks free. On the terrace, Memnon glares at Cassandra.
Now go to my chambers. We have things to discuss.
She stares at him, then bows before leaving.
My sincerest apologies, my lord.
Memnon steps forward and places his hand on the general's shoulder.
I understand. You are fearful. Weak.
He stabs the general, who falls back on the table.
The feast is over. To bed, men, for tomorrow we conquer.
Memnon to Tukmet.
Fortify the palace guard.
On the ramparts, Matthias sees the camel move into position below him. Matthias lowers a rope, then slithers down it to land on the camel's back. He meets Arpit on the cart.
All right, that was the easy part. Everybody know what to do?
Cripple the guards.
Ignite the powder.
And try not to get killed.
The urchin boy peeks out.
What are you doing here? You could get hurt.
So could you.
Stay in the wagon.
You watch yourself, Acadian.
No need for concern, miss.
Oh, he's gonna pay for that.
Balthazar wipes the woman's makeup from his eyelid. Tukmet rides to the main gate.
Seal the gates! Seal all the gates!
Memnon joins Cassandra.
Though I'm relieved to see you unharmed, I am somewhat surprised the Acadian didn't kill you.
He was after you. I was merely a pawn.
But you escaped his grasp.
I'm not without my wiles.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
Bring them.
The attendants leave the chamber. Memnon steps up to his throne and sits down facing the sorceress.
Tomorrow my victory is complete. That is your vision?
As I said, I have seen it.
Have you? I sense a change in you. You seem somehow diminished.
I assure you, I am myself.
Good. A small demonstration shouldn't trouble you then.
He rises and walks down to her and leads her to the center of the chamber as a large, narrow barrel is carried in. Memnon stands behind a circle of six urns on a table and removes their lids.
A simple test.
Using a staff with a hook, one of the attendants removes a cobra from the barrel and places it into the narrow opening of an urn. A second attendant does the same with another cobra. In all, four cobras are placed in urns. Memnon replaces the lids.
Now go. Everyone leave.
Outside in the dark, the huge stone statue of Memnon stands on the steps leading to the palace. Arpit drives the covered cart out of the shadows towards the palace.
Where am I going?
Stop. It's over there. It should be just there.
The gray-haired Phylos climbs down from the cart while Balthazar and Arpit pick up flaming torches. The warrior women scuttle about. Under a nearby canopy, folded carpets cover a manhole.
Good man.
Some of the women remove weapons from the cart. Others form a line and pass filled sacks along it to the canopy. The women remove their robes, revealing battle wear beneath. Balthazar grabs the manhole grate handles. Hearing the noise, two guards descend the steps from the palace. Two of the women in veils walk out to intercept them.
Well, well. What do we have here?
The guards are caught and are stabbed by the women. More soldiers appear and more women arm themselves. Under the canopy...
One at a time!
Phylos is throwing sacks down to Arpid, who's in the cellar under the manhole. Matthias's camel is by the wall at the side of the palace. Matthias is climbing the wall. In his chamber...
Six urns, four copies. Now, let's see what you can see.
The table stops spinning. Cassandra raises her left hand and holds it over the top of the nearest urn. She walks around the table to the next, then stops at the third. She stares at Memnon, then removes the lid. Cassandra places her hand and arm inside the urn. The two stare at each other, then she removes her arm.
Excellent. One empty pot left now.
He tosses the pot to the floor. Outside.
Who dies first?
A troop of Memnon's soldiers attack Balthazar and the women, who fend them off with swords and spears. Seemingly trapped on a stairway, Balthazar wields his mighty saber at those besieging him. Below ground, Phylos leads Arpid through the cellar.
We're almost there.
In Memnon's chamber, Cassandra walks slowly around the table, her hand raised above the urns. He glares stony-faced at her.
You know what I see? Fear. You have lost your power. Thrown it all away.
Cassandra, her eyes fixed on Memnon, removes the lid from the nearest urn, then sticks her hand inside. She hauls it out with a cobra coiled round her arm. She grasps its body under the head. The cobra's puffed up.
What magic is this?
My magic. I see your fate, Hollow King. And its time has come.
Matthias is on a ledge above him.
You wish to test magic against steel.
Matthias leaps onto the fabric covering the ceiling and swings down on Memnon. The two men face each other, swords in hand.
I've come for the woman. And your head.
The assassin and the sorceress. How romantic.
Bury you both together!
Memnon kicks Matthias, then slashes him across the chest, cutting his vest. Matthias lunges at Memnon as Cassandra watches. Memnon slashes his opponent's chest a second time. Outside, Balthazar is still battling against the odds. He topples two soldiers over a balcony, then is pressed back against a lattice window. He crashes backwards through it. On the ground, Queen Isis turns to see Tachmet riding to the palace. Isis is kicked over as Tachmet leaps the barricade and makes for the palace steps. Isis spears the man who kicked her, then rolls over to avoid Tachmet's charging horse, which gallops up the steps. In the palace cellar.
And here it is. The foundation stone.
In Memnon's chamber, he kicks over the urns. Three cobras slither toward Matthias. He beheads one, then Memnon attacks him. The two remaining snakes circle them. He cuts off another snake's head, then is punched onto the circular table. It spins around. He kicks out at Memnon, sending him sprawling. Down in the cellar...
Hurry! We're running out of time!
I'm hurrying!
Arpid cracks his head against a stone beam. Memnon draws a second sword and swishes them about his head. He pushes over two long-stemmed flaming lamps, setting the room on fire. Matthias leaps across the flames at Memnon. Matthias is pressed back and tumbles to the floor. A cobra springs on him. He grabs it and throws it away before kicking the table at Memnon. The locked chamber doors are buckling.
Fire in front!
palace guard at your back. Looks like I'll be keeping my head after all, Acadian.
The palace guards burst through, battling with Balthazar. Matthias joins forces with Balthazar. Memnon, separated from them by fire, glances across at Cassandra.
Kill the witch!
A guard attacks her with a sword. She parries with her sword. She kicks him in the groin. He buckles. Matthias stabs one guard and avoids another's thrust. He knocks a concave flaming lamp off its stand and uses the stand as a weapon. He backs into Balthazar. Another guard attacks Cassandra, who sticks her sword in his foot. Memnon creeps up behind her and puts his arm around her neck. Matthias sees him. Matthias crashes the stand against two guards, then throws it at four others entering the chamber. Memnon backs towards an opening with Cassandra. He slashes two cords and drapes fall over the opening, which he drags Cassandra through. Matthias leaps through the flames.
Matthias!
Balthazar tosses Matthias a sword, which he catches in his hand. Balthazar nods. Matthias crashes through the flaming drapes to find Memnon with Cassandra on the huge terrace. Memnon pushes Cassandra aside. She slams her head against a rock on a table as Matthias, his muscles rippling, charges at Memnon. Takhmet rides along a corridor toward Balthazar, whose back is to him. Balthazar turns, grabs the spear Takhmet is holding, and sends him crashing to the floor. He places his foot on Takhmet's throat. He thrusts the spear into Takhmet. The women are fighting like Amazons.
For your father.
A guard leans against the cart, and the boy hits him with a pan. On the terrace, Memnon and Matthias are still slugging it out. Memnon dips his two swords in the burning oil in a lamp and wields the flaming blades at Matthias. Matthias sprints up stone steps, with Memnon swinging his fiery weapons. Matthias is forced back and teeters on the edge of the terrace overlooking the courtyard. Memnon slashes at Matthias and knocks his sword out of his hand. Memnon then trips Matthias, who lies on his back, his head over the edge. Matthias springs onto his feet and grabs Memnon's wrists. They struggle together, the flaming swords between them. Memnon drops the swords and Matthias lands a succession of blows on him, finally knocking him to the ground. Cassandra looks up as Memnon gets to his feet and throws some ash from a lantern in Matthias's face. He then kicks Matthias down onto a table on the terrace below. Memnon stands above him as Cassandra saw in her vision.
The gods favor me tonight, Acadian.
True to her vision, Matthias gets to his feet as an archer comes through the doorway. Cassandra runs to Matthias as the archer takes aim at him.
Matthias!
She runs into his arms and he spins her around to protect her from the archer's arrow, which hits him square between the shoulder blades. He falls to the ground, the arrow sticking out of his back. In the cellar, Phylos and Arpid have finished laying a powder trail.
Hurry up and light it.
You hurry up and light it. This is your invention.
As Phylos makes to light the gunpowder trail, several guards appear and prevent him. In the square in front of the palace, the boy, Queen Isis, and her warrior women find themselves surrounded. In one of the palace corridors, Balthazar faces a contingent of Memnon's men. Memnon looks down into the square and sees his men cutting off Queen Isis's escape. Matthias forces himself up, and the archer who shot him draws his sword. As he runs forward, Cassandra leaps to her feet and picks a knife up and plunges it into the archer. Matthias sees his bow on the banquet table and staggers over to it. In the square and in the palace corridor, Queen Isis and Balthazar prepare to face the onslaught of Memnon's men. Matthias picks up his bow and steps up onto the banquet table. Memnon watches as Matthias pulls the arrow out of his back. Memnon picks up his swords and stands on guard. Matthias draws back the string of his bow. In the square, Memnon's guards charge toward Queen Isis and her warrior women. In the palace, they charge toward Balthazar, too. Phylos and Arpid are still captive.
So much for not getting killed.
Arpid grabs the torch from Phylos and lights the powder trail. Matthias draws back his bow.
Catch this.
He lets the arrow fly and it evades Memnon's flashing blades to land right in his chest, the force of the impact propelling him off the side of the palace. Meanwhile, the fuse ignites the gunpowder and a mighty explosion rips through the palace. Memnon falls into the flames. Arpid and Phylos dive for cover in the square as Memnon's statue topples forward and breaks. They watch as the now flaming Memnon plummets from above and crashes into the statue. Matthias and Cassandra stand on the roof of the palace, looking down into the square. Arpid, Phylos, the boy, and Queen Isis all stare up at them. Balthazar runs out onto the roof. In the square, Memnon's remaining men kneel and bow their heads. One of them gets to his feet and raises his sword in a salute to Matthias.
Hail to the king!
I knew it from the start.
Matthias looks down with satisfaction and then raises his bow in acknowledgement. He glances at Cassandra, who stands by his side. The next day, as a pall of smoke still rises from the palace, Matthias and Cassandra stand outside the city gates. They bow respectfully to Queen Isis and her warrior women as they ride away. Balthazar follows behind the women, leading his horse. He stops to talk to Cassandra and Matthias.
Stay here with us, Balthazar. There's much work to be done.
I have to look after my own people. You're a king now, Cadian. And a good one, I think. Don't forget how you got here, or the people you came from.
My people will live on through me. Remember, there'll always be a place for you here. Live free.
Rule well.
They shake hands, then Balthazar mounts his horse.
Remember, Nubian eyes will be watching you, Scorpion King.
Matthias smiles and Balthazar rides off.
I see a time of great peace and prosperity ahead.
How is it you see this? Don't the legends say you'll lose your powers if you...
He raises his eyebrows.
Can you think of a better way to keep a king from taking advantage? Well, neither could my ancestors.
And how long will this time of peace last?
Nothing lasts forever, my king. And that is the destiny of all kingdoms.
Then we'll make our own destiny.
He leans forward, takes her in his arms, and kisses her. Smiling, the now regal couple walk back in through the city gates, followed by their entourage. Titles, directed by Chuck Russell. Screenplay by Stephen Summers and William Osborne and David Hayter. Story by Stephen Summers and Jonathan Hales. Produced by Stephen Summers, Sean Daniel, James Jax, Kevin Mischer. Executive producer Vince McMahon. Director of photography John R. Leonetti. Production designer Ed Vareau. Editors Michael Tronick, ACE, Greg Parsons. Co-producer Richard Luke Rothschild. The Rock, Stephen Brand, Kelly Hu, Bernard Hill, Grant Heslov, Peter Facinelli, Ralph Mahler, Roger Rees, Sherry Howard, Branscombe Richmond, and Michael Clark Duncan. Music by John Debney, costume designer John Bloomfield, associate producers Michael Tronick, Josh McLaglen. Casting by Sarah Hawley Finn, CSA, Randy Hiller, CSA. A Universal Pictures presentation in association with World Wrestling Federation Entertainment and Alphaville Stephen Summers Mischer Films production. A Chuck Russell film. Credits roll. Now. in memory of Ron White. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of the film. Copyright 2002 Kalima Productions, GmbH & Company, KG, all rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 1997 Universal Studios. Country of first publication, United States of America. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Universal, voice by Nicole Zanzarella. A letter A emerges from a gray background, in black letters, Alphaville.